Welcome to OAA Now, your home for Oakland Activities Association news and information. Here's your host, Sammy Terramina.
Welcome to OAA Now here. I'm Sammy Terramina, blogger around the OAA, the host of Last Week Brain Cells, and the host between 2 minutes on OAA Television. I'd like to welcome those watching on the local voice on SoundCloud and those watching on OAA Television. A lot to talk about this week here on the pod here. Obviously, we got some basketball news to talk about here. We're going to preview the Oxford Invitational coming up this weekend. I know there's a lot of OA teams that are involved in that. But let's talk about our main story here. Obviously, the main one has to be over at Groves. This was just within the last 24 hours. The big news here has to be Allison Heidi stepping down at Groves. I think, you know, when you look at it'll be interesting to see how Groves does with their coaching search, considering, you know, Tom Plin, their athletic director, is no longer, I mean, he's gonna be retiring at the end of the year. And obviously you look at here with Heidi stepping down, she was 25-44 in her 3 years coaching at Groves. She took over for Coach Antoine Simpkins 3 years ago. Of course, now Simpkins is now at Detroit Cass Tech, and we know how that went. He led that team to a regional semifinal appearance. So when I look at what Heidi brought to the team, she brought in like a sense of calmness. Obviously, you know, when you look at what happened with Simpkins, I know with that issue, and we talked, and it's been well publicized. But when you look at what she did at Groves, I mean, taking over a team that was in a there was a mass exodus of people transferring out. She stabilized things. When you look at the record, you look at the record and results, it's not been there. But when you look at the, just the product that she brought, I mean, obviously you look at the players that she had, obviously you look at what Groves did. They did a nice job with everything they have. I mean, like, obviously, what they have. And, you know, you look at first year for them being in the red, going up against the likes of Clarkston, West Bloomfield, Lake Orion, Rochester, Stony Creek. I think I mentioned West Bloomfield. That's not an easy feeling if you're a new coach going into your first year, being in the red, going up against like those perennial powers in the division. So Groves really struggled. And then they went to the white, had a better year in Heidi's third year. They had that big win against Royal Oak, which earned them a big win at the time. I mean, forced Royal Oak to be the number two seed in their district at Warren Cousineau. And lo and behold, I mean, like, you look at what happened there. Royal Oak ended up winning that district, and they knocked off Groves 57-45 in the district semifinals. So when I look at Groves, and I'm curious to see with the talent pool they got. I mean, they got a star player in the making. I think her name is Harlan Barnett. So when I look at, I mean, like, I put a comment on the blog. It was confirmed by Tom Flynn, of course, the athletic director at, it was confirmed by the athletic director at Groves. As I mentioned earlier, You know, it'll be interesting to see what direction Groves goes with. I mean, you really look at, actually, I take that back on the correction of the score. It was 47-35 was the score. I do remember last year Groves had a really good team, had a good chance to knock out Birmingham Marion, but lost a heartbreaker last season in the district final, in the first round. Actually, in the district semifinals, where they lost that one 30-29. So that was a really difficult loss for them. You look at a player like Harlem Simpson. That was the one I was mentioning. Simpson had a nice year this year for Groves. She had a really nice year. You put her together with J.C. Roy. You have Anaya White, Soapy Stronic, and Micah White all coming back. But obviously, whoever the new coach is going to have a really good nucleus of guards, especially with Simpson and Roy. Roy, I've been really high on for a long time with Groves, and I think really that's going to be the key heading into next year is can, whoever the new coach is, can they take over, you know what I mean? Can they keep where things have been going real smooth for Groves? And I think that's really going to be the key going forward for them is can they, can Flynn, obviously, can he make the decision of whoever's taking over that program? Obviously, you look at program strength is a big concern with Groves. You look at building the – it's going to be interesting to see how this team does. It'll be really interesting to see what type of structure it's going to be over there. So a lot of challenges loom for Groves, and I think that's going to be the key going forward. Is can the Falcons find a way, obviously I expect them to still be competitive in the white, considering there's been a lot of changeover in this division. When you look at the teams that are in this division heading into next year, I mean, obviously you look at Royal Oak, they're still in the division. They still got a lot coming back. After graduating a heavy group of proven experience from a team that went to the regional final last season. Obviously, you look at what Royal Oak did. They made that run to, winning at district final, knocking off Warren Cousin on a buzzer beater, and then upsetting Grosse Pointe North, which I still cannot believe to this day, that Royal Oak would go in there and do it. Because I'll be honest with you, I thought Grosse Pointe North would just easily just hand a Royal Oak. I mean, and I'll admit that on air because, but Royal Oak, they're still going to be a team to beat. We'll see. I think, honestly, Royal Oak will be a team to really, really watch for heading into next year, and I think that's going to be the key. And I think, they're one of the teams to really watch for. Another team to watch for is Groves' arch rival, Seaham. So last season, Seaham beat Groves. And, obviously you look at what Seaham's got, proven experience coming back, led by Addie Flynn. I think it's going to be a really interesting dynamic for Groves, especially when they have to deal with Coach Chris Manchester and his team. So that's going to be something to really watch for there is can Groves turn that rivalry back into their favor? I mean, they kind of done it in the boys. And then obviously, with football, but, in Austin volleyball, that's always been a really interesting rivalry in volleyball between Groves and Seaham. But in girls basketball, there was a time that Groves was dominant. And, and then now you look at with Seaham, I think Seaham right now looks like they're going to be the team to beat. I mean, they got to a, they made the district final a year ago. Lost a tough one to Bloomfield Hills. And speaking of Bloomfield Hills, I mean, they're another team that's going to be in the division. When I look at Bloomfield Hills, obviously they made that run, that special run they had last year. Now, I've been hearing a lot of rumblings that Kristen Massey is not coming back. I can't verify that yet. I can't confirm that if she's not coaching the team. I would like to hear if that is the case. You know, if on my blog at SaginawBay450@blogspot.com or also on my Twitter feed, I'm at Saginaw Bay. So, you know, I've been hearing a lot of rumblings over at Bloomfield Hills that Massey might be out at Bloomfield Hills. So, you know, I just want to know if it's confirmed or not. But, you know, it'll be very interesting to see. But Bloomfield Hills, obviously, you got a star player, Michelle Barrett, coming back. And I think the Blackhawks are a team that, you know, they got program strength. They're well coached. But Bloomfield Hills could be a serious player next year. And I expect they're going to be a dangerous, dangerous team when I look at Bloomfield Hills heading into next year. And then there's Rochester. I mean, Rochester, obviously, you look at the storylines there. You know, and then when you look at the Falcons, they got Alice Max, Kylie Robinson. Obviously, Coach Bill Thurston's no longer over at Rochester. They are looking for a new coach over there. So when I look at Rochester, could they take the Stony Creek route? I don't think that will be the case. I don't think that should be the case. I don't think that's a wise choice if they take that route. But you do have Kylie Robinson, Alice Max for one more year. Emma Max coming in. You know, I think she's going to be a player to watch for. Lucy Cook, obviously. There's a lot of questions surrounding Lucy Cook. So when I look at Rochester, I think guard play is going to be the key. Whoever the new coach is over there at Rochester is. There are some options there considering with their JV program. Obviously, Jeff Haney did a really nice job with their JV program. So we don't know where Rochester stands when it comes to, you know, they got a lot of questions to really watch for. Obviously, whoever takes that job, you know, they got program strengths. But Coach Thurston did a really nice job building that program. But there is going to be some question marks over there with Rochester, considering, you know, obviously going down from the red. Rochester, I expect them to be one of the top teams, but guard play is still going to be a question mark for Rochester, whoever the new coach is, whoever takes over that job. So we'll see how it goes. So we'll see how that goes. And, you know, we'll see how that one goes over there. And then there's Troy. When I look at Troy, I think with the Colts, you know, when you look at Troy, obviously it starts with the talent pool they got there. I mean, you look at the up-and-coming players. You look at a Diamond Prince. I mean, Diamond Prince had an incredible year last year. You look at a Carly Higginbottom in the interior. You have Reagan Zeider, who can shoot you threes. You have Kelsey Block, who's a defensive stopper. You have Val Kekamakis, who can also play, you know what I mean, who's a solid defender. You got several others as well, and that's not counting Macy Zeider, who's also coming in the program. I mean, we know what Macy Zeider's done. I mean, look what she's done in the AAU circuit. I mean, like, she's playing against girls that are, like, two grades higher. I mean, like, you know, in the AAU circuit. That's insane. I mean, so when you look at what Macy Zeider can bring, I mean, she'll probably be up on varsity for Coach Laura Guzman. But, you know, you really look at that division right now and say to yourself, okay, if your Groves is, your division's going to be stacked. It's going to be loaded, with those teams in there. So there's going to be some challenges for Groves in that division. So I still think Troy is going to be the team to beat in that division. I mean, when you really look at the Colts, you know, Troy, to me, you know, especially the experience they got, honestly, you know, when they got the number one seed, I kind of thought about, you know, I mean, what Troy, I kind of thought about was, you know, I kind of thought was, okay, you're going to get top seed. They're going to get number one seed. They're going to compete. You know, and then they play Boombie Hills in the district semifinals, and, you know, things did not go well for them, obviously. You know, I don't know if it was being in the blue. You know, obviously, you know, just some more life lessons for that team. You know, and I think Troy right now, when I look at the Colts, they're going to be a scary group. They're going to be a scary group. I think Troy, they're a team that could really do some damage. And if this team can do some damage, obviously, when you look at the emergence of the Zeiters, then you have Diamond Prince, Higginbottom in the interior. Then you have, like, an Ali Mantuza who can also play in the interior. Obviously, with Coach Guzman's four-guard, one-big set. Kelsey Block's a solid defender. They got playmakers on that team. They got some depth, but the question's going to be for Troy is going to be is can they build that program strength? That is going to be the big challenge for them. Obviously, you know, I mean, they're going to have a really good varsity team for sure. But if you're Coach Guzman, you're going to have to make that next step. So we'll see what happens there with Troy. I really think the Colts are going to be a team that they're going to be an interesting team to watch. And I think with them, it's going to be interesting to see how Troy does. We'll see. I mean, we will see. But for Groves going forward, it's going to come down to is, you know, obviously you look at the program. You got good kids in that district over there. And you got good kids at Groves. You got athletes over there in Beverly Hills. So whoever takes the job, the big question I have for them is going to be the interior play. And I really think for Groves, it's just trying to change the culture around, you know what I mean, where they've really struggled maintaining success. And, you know, that's going to be the key heading in for the next year is can Groves maintain, find a way to find success. Because you knew that, you know, when the changeover happened, you know, that was going to be a transition period, and it happened during the year. You know, and they had some players. Caitlin Sanders was one of the, was a very solid player for Groves. I mean, she was a very good player for them. You know, they had to replace her this year, this past year. And, you know, I think with them, it's going to come down to is can the Falcons, you know, they obviously got that player in the making, in Harlan Simpson. And then obviously with J.C. Roy there. So, you know, they got the guards, but the question's the wings, question the interior, question the bigs. If this team can find a way to do it, then I think Groves will be a, they're going to be a really dangerous team going forward. And I think that'll be something to really, really watch for when it comes to Groves. And I think, you know, and I think they got a chance to be good. I mean, but when I look at that division right now, I still think it's Troy and Seaholm are going to be the two top teams. Royal Oak is also going to be in there as well. And then obviously Rochester. So Groves could be in for a long year. I mean, they could really much be in for a long year considering the teams that are in that division. And then you have also Boombie Hill. So it would not surprise me if they finish last next year, but it also wouldn't surprise me if this team finishes in the middle of the pack. So, you know, so there's a lot of questions with Groves. You know, so there's going to be a lot of questions with them. So We'll see what happens going forward with them. But I think with Groves, it's going to come down to is can the Falcons build a, you know, is can the Falcons develop interior play, develop program strength? They do. I think you're going to be a very good team. I mean, they'll be a solid team. So we'll see what happens going forward with Groves. All right, now let's go from basketball to track and field here. Obviously, the one of the previews we're going to preview is the Oakland count as the Oxford Invitational. It's one of my favorites to preview because there's a lot of OA teams that are well represented in this meet. Obviously, there is you got Avondale here, you got Berkeley's here, Grove, Seaholm, Bloomfield Hills, Clarkston, Farmington, Ferndale's here, Lake Orion's here. You got Oak Park, Oxford, Pontiac, Adams, Stony Creek, Troy Athens. And West Bloomfield are the OA representation here for this meet. So it's an interesting meet. It's a fun meet actually too to be to watch, and I think it's gonna be really interesting to see how they match up. Obviously when you look at, you know, teams that could be favored to really watch for, I think, you know, obviously you look at on the girls side of things, you look at Clarkston, obviously they're a team to really keep an eye on. Lake Orion's another one to keep an eye on as well. But Oak Park, you know, Oak Park's got, I mean, obviously they're defending state champions in girls track. It'll be really interesting to see how Oak Park does this because I know Coach Giles very well. And they'll like to use their hurdles. They'll like to use the sprint relays. And I expect them they're going to use them. So that's going to be interesting to see how this one goes. When I look at the previews coming in, when you look at, of course, when you're simulating this, I mean, like, it has to be, it's going to be interesting to see how, it's going to be interesting to see how you simulate this. I mean, you know, obviously you look at on the girls' side of things, you look at, of course, the favorite has to be Chelsea. I mean, like, so far this year, I mean, they got a girl right now, 8-19. I mean, Midland Dallas coming in second. I mean, Lake Orion with Sabrina DiMaggio right now. I mean, she's projected to finish third right now in this. So obviously, it'll be interesting to see, but I think a team to watch for is Chelsea in this Invitational. I really think so. But when you look at Oak Park, obviously the favorite, obviously. In the 100, Troy Athens, with Nevaeh Burns there, projected to only a freshman. Maddie Pertesky from Troy Athens, projected to finish second. Cameron Tatum of West Bloomfield is tied right now. She's one of the favorites in that. And then the 200 meter, obviously Morgan Roundtree of Oak Park. We know how good she is. And then Curry Van Noy, only a junior, projected to finish third. Midland Dows, Emma Thomas, projected to finish second. And then you look at Bianca Evoluda of Farmington and London James of West Bloomfield projected to finish top five. So it'll be very interesting. 400 meter, obviously, the Nevaeh Burns favorite of Oak Park. Danisha Kellogg, only a junior, projected to finish second. And then obviously you have Maddie Petruski of Troy Athens and then Cameron Tatum of West Bloomfield projected to finish fourth and fifth. So it'll be really interesting to see how this goes. 800 meter Kylie King favored of Oak Park. Romeo's expected to score big points as long as Midland down in the 8 in the 800 meter. In the mile, you got to give Midland down the favorite there. I mean, followed by Romeo with Anna Habrowski, only a freshman. Hannah DeRock of Lake Orion, projected to finish third, followed by Natalia Garasho and of Romeo, and then Leah Corby of Stony Creek, and then of course in the mile, and then you look at in the 2 mile, Midlandau, Romeo, Lake Orion. It'll be interesting to see how this goes here. And then, of course, in the 100 hurdles, obviously, you got Oak Park favored there, loading up there with Roundtree, Van Noy, and Jada Watson there. Sabrina DiMaggio of Lake Orion projected to finish fifth. But Oak Park really loaded right now when you look at I'm reading the previews right now. The 300 hurdles, you got Jalen Marks of West Bloomfield, followed by Kariah Dwyer of Oxford, followed by, Evan Goge of Romeo, Caitlin Porrick of Clarkston, and Layla Wells of Chelsea wraps up the top five there. These are all according to athletic.net, so apologize if I'm looking at my phone here, looking at it here. Troy Athens has to be the favorite when it comes to the 4x1, followed by Fenton. Groves is third, West Bloomfield fourth, and then, that'll be very interesting to see here. And then you look at the 4x2, 4x2, obviously Lake Orion's a favorite there. Oak Park is favored in the 4x2. Lake Orion projected finish number two, West Bluefield three, Berkeley four, and Clarkston fifth. So that 4x2 could be really interesting. And then the 4x4, Oak Park is favored, followed by Lake Orion. Ann Arbor Huron third, Chelsea Ford, Farmington fifth. So, and then the 4x8, Lake Orion favored. Ann Arbor Huron number two, Romeo number three, and Adams number four. So it'll be really interesting to see how this goes. So really interesting. And then the field events, obviously, you look at shot put, Abigail Russell of Allen Park. I mean, like, my goodness. I mean, she threw a 45.5 this season for Allen Park. One of the best in the state of Michigan. Destiny DeJarrett of Hazel Park projected to finish second at 37 feet. Anna Brandt of Chelsea through 35.8. Emily Bonner of Midlandau, 35.4-2. And Corian Hutton of New Baltimore Anchor Bay throwing 35.2 this year. Discus Russell obviously favored. Skylar Hallibrook of White Lake Lakeland was projected to finish second at 114. Molly Sosha of Bluefield Hills projected to finish third, throwing 112. Bella DeLong throwing 109 for Lake Orion. And Addison Stornberg of Farmtails Mercy throwing 105. I mean, high jump, Mercy's favored there. Allen Park projected to finish second. Mercy got third. Ann Arbor here on fourth. Clarkson with Kersey Collins projected to finish fifth at jumping at 5 feet. Pole vault, this is where pole vault gets counted. So pole vault, it does get counted here. So Gina Galab of Clarkson is the favorite right now at jumping 10-6. Amira Luke of Allen Park, 10-1. Sabrina DiMaggio of Lake Orion projected to finish third with 10 feet. Olivia Bagnerson, 9-6. And then Carly Remoyo of Chelsea jumping at 9 feet in the pole vault. And then long jump, Anaya Billups of North Farmington is the favorite. Layla Thomas of Lake Orion projected to finish second. Kristen Losey of Troy projected to finish third. Ariana Glass of Waterford Kettering projected to finish fourth. And Gianna Galab of Clarkston projected to finish fifth, jumping at 15 feet. So when I look at the teams that are favored in this, Oak Park has to be the favorite because of they have loaded up the hurdle events. They've loaded up the sprint events. Obviously, that's always been their bread and butter of success. So that'll be really interesting to see how that translates. But right now, if I had to pick a team right now that has to be favored right now, It would be Oak Park, but I think Lake Orion's got a chance in this one. Clarkson's got a chance in this one. Romeo is another team that I think's got a great chance in this one as well. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, we'll see how this one goes. All right, let's go to the boys now. As mentioned, this is going to be a really interesting one, the boys' side of things here. Early favorite has to be Warren D. LaSalle in this event. Micah Walker, project finished first, followed by his teammate, Dalton DeRoche, Evan Watson of Troy Athens, project finished third, Gavin Rolfe, project finished fourth, Sean Blitzer, Midland Dow, project finished fifth. 200 dash, DeGrosse, obviously from D. LaSalle's favorite. Devin James of West Bloomfield, project finished second. James Wallace of Warren D. LaSalle, project finished third. Miles Dewberry of Allen Park, project finished fourth. And Aston Brown of Ann Arbor here, project finished fifth. So we'll see how that one goes. A 400-meter favorite has to be Clarkson. Obviously, Wendell Childs, we know how good he's been. And then Evan Watson of Troy Athens, project finished second. Philip Burney has the third best time right now for Oak Park. Jackson Hayward projected finish fourth at 5091, and then Rondre Austin at 5119. So project of Oak Park. So we'll see how that one goes. In the 400 meter, 800 meter, Adams has to be favored. Fernand Vernick 158. Bryce Nolak of Clarkson, 159. Louis DeSouza of Troy, 2 minutes, 27 seconds. Bryce Gutzel of Romeo, 2 minutes, 83 seconds. And then James Kuzak of Oxford, 2 minutes and 88 seconds. So, interesting to see how that one goes. The 1 mile, Rochester's the favorite here. Ferdinand Vercek, of Adams, he threw fourth. He ran 4:22.19. Chelsea, favorite take for the second, 4:25. James Kuzak of Oxford, projected finish third with 4:27. Vincent Guzmano of Romeo, 4:29. And then Viesha Rakthier of Troy, projected to finish fifth at 4:30. So, really interesting here. 2 mile, Oliver Moss of Berkeley, checked his best time right now at 9:31. Vivasha Rakshir of Troy, 9:34.75. Connor Alford of Chelsea, 9:35.02. Andrew Flores of Clarkston, 9:40.58. And Ty Levison of Bloomfield Hills, 9:41.87. And then we have the hurdles here. We got the 110s. Kingston Magnite of Stevenson, 1771. Ryder Reese of Troy at the 1771. Austin Watford of Utica, 18 flat. Richard Washington of Hazel Park, 1811. Maxwell Jones, 1946, also from Hazel Park. 110, the 200 hurdles, Kingston Magnite has to be the favorite right now from Sterling Heights Stevenson, 2891. Richard Washington of Hazel Park, project finished second. Austin Watford from Utica, third. Lucas Chebrock of Troy Athens, fourth. And Ethan Hanner of Troy Athens, projected finish fifth with 34 flat. So we'll see what happens there. 4x1, West Bloomfield, obviously top team to beat, followed by Wall Lake Western. North Farmington is project finished third. Oak Park project finished fourth. Wall Lake Western projected finish fifth. And then you have the 4x2 here. Oak Park project finished first. Wall Lake Western second. Fenton third. Farmington fourth, Clarkston fifth. 4x4, Troy Athens is favored, Clarkston second. Adams third, Oak Park fourth, and Rochester Adams, this B team, looks like they're fifth. So We'll see how that one goes. 4x8, Troy's favored, followed by Troy Athens. And Troy's got a B team here. Romeo projected finish fourth, and then Troy Athens, B team projected finish fifth. So we'll see what happens there. Then let's go to the field events here. Shot put here, obviously. Groves is favored. Omari Hexton. Obviously, we know how good Groves' throws team's been all year. He's projected. He's thrown 53 feet 5. Liam Vaughn of Wall Lake Western, 53 feet 3.5. Andre Newman of Lakeland, 52 7.5. Ryan Ross of Warren D. LaSalle, 47.5. And Dwayne Brome of West Bloomfield, 46.6. So, it's really interesting. Discus, obviously, Newman is favored from Lakeland, 167. Liam Vaughn, second with 160. Ray Glory of Groves, 153.2. Drew Wojcicki of Wall Lake Western projected finish fourth with 151. Nick Wachensko of Clarkston, 145.9. So, and then high jump. Andrew Harding of Ann Arbor Huron and Charlie Gardner. Both Ann Arbor Huron has 1-2. In this, Reggie Hinton of Bloomfield Hills projected finish third. We know Hinton, of course, played basketball this year. Caleb Metcalf of Flushing projected finish fourth, and Caleb Erickson of Sterling Heights Stevenson projected finish fifth at 6-2. Pole vault, Chelsea is the favorite here. Nolan Fleitzer, 12-6. Matthew Mizzi of Allen Park projected finish second. Dominic Walker projected finish third of Allen Park. And then you have Tyler Mullen of Lake Orion, 12-1. And Alexander Vals of Flushing, 12 feet. So, and long jump here, Ann Arbor Huron has the first two here. Rivera, 23 feet. Charlie Gardner, 22 feet in the five. Preston Gardner from North Farmington, 21-11. Kristen Kilpatrick from Fenton, jumped 21.7.5. And Jaden Belton, Flushing, 21.5. So those are right now the early indicators of the Oxford Invitational. The early favorite has to be in the boys' side of this meet. It really has to be Warren D. LaSalle, obviously, with the sprints, the distance. The distance part could be the most interesting one. I think it could come down to is, you know, and then obviously in the throws, Wall Lake Western, you know, is going to be a power to reckon with. Also, you're going to have to deal with, with Groves this year. Groves has had a really nice year this year. You know, so when you look at the Oxford Invitational, obviously you look at a lot of OA schools are in this meet, considering, you know, you really look at, you look at how the league is. I mean, obviously it's a good idea. It's a good indicator to see where each team is at, And I think, you know, this usually I look at the Oxford Invitational as like a great indicator for, you know, because it's sort of like a semi-kamikaze OA meet. But you never know. Obviously, you look at the teams that are going to be there. There's a lot of them that are going to be there. So some teams are keeping an eye on, obviously, on the boys' side is you got to take a look at you know, obviously Oak Park could be a player. But I think whoever distance team comes out on top is going to have a really good meet, because the distance side of things is going to be where I think a lot of things are going to be. So we'll see what happens. I mean, we're going to see what happens in the distance side. Like I said, the Oxford Invitational, if you want to go out to a track meet this weekend, I would recommend the Oxford Invitational because there's a lot of good teams in there. There's a lot of, like, proven teams in there that I think can make some serious noise this year. And I think that'll be something to really, really watch for going forward there. Let's look at some other sports. I mean, obviously, baseball. When I look at baseball right now, I've got to give Wes Bloomfield props, and I got to give Sehome props because I think those are the two best teams right now in baseball because Wes Bloomfield really has – they've really performed expectation. I know last year this is a team that, you know, they won the Red. They want to get back. You know, obviously they had a very disappointing loss to Lake Orion last year in the district semifinals. So when I look at Wes Bloomfield, they got the pitching. They got some hitting. I think with them, it's going to come down to is can Wes Bloomfield find a way? You know what I mean? Can they break through this year? And it looks like with their district coming up, they got a good chance to break through, make some noise, and I think they got a great chance to do it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, we're going to see what happens, you know, going forward there, and I think that that's going to be the case right there for Wes Bloomfield is can they make some noise? I mean, that's the question. That's the question that, you know, that I have with them. And then you look at, you know, Sehome. Obviously with Sehome, I know coming in a couple weeks ago that I had a lot of people over there say, like, what about us? What about Sehome? And, you know, they played Groves. Groves and Sehome, I would think right now are, you know, like, they're battling for that. They're kind of bound for that semi-2 spot. And I really think with them, it's going to come down to, if there's a team I can trust right now, Sehome's the team I can trust for a couple of reasons. Because one, I can trust them. I can trust Sehome. Basically, with their pitching staff, with their hitting staff. I could trust them. The question that I have is, can Sehome, you know, get it done in the postseason? I mean, they've proven it. I mean, they have the facilities now. I mean, if you go to Sehome, they got a whole new facility there. And it is nice. Their facility there is nice. I mean, I haven't been inside it yet, but I've heard a lot of good things about it. I mean, it is absolutely nice. I've got to go in there sometime. I really got to go in there and see this new athletic facility. I mean, I looked at their baseball facility. They got lights. They could play games at night. I mean, if you have lights and you could play baseball on that, I'm going to tell you. I mean, like, then, you know, that's going to be a help big time. I know Avondale's got lights there. I'm not sure about, I know Avondale for sure's got lights, but then I'm looking at Sehome and I'm saying to myself, wow, they got a new scoreboard, new everything over there. I mean, I like what they did over there. They did a great design, great job over there. I also know several places that are getting, like, their fields done. I know Hurley Field's going to have a new field next year, which is going to be really interesting, considering, you know, obviously with Berkeley, you know, Berkeley soccer. Then, obviously, you know, Berkeley football is a team I'm really keeping a close eye on next year. But they're getting a new turf field done over there at Hurley. You know, of course, it's not, I mean, Hurley Field is at Anderson Middle School's campus. It's really not that far from, you know, Berkeley High School. I mean, it's a little short drive of Catalpa, I mean, like, on Catalpa. So, you know, so I'm very curious to see how that one goes. Really, really curious to see how that one goes. And then you look at, you know, I mean, obviously, when you look at teams to keep an eye on, I mean, we talk West Bloomfield, we talk Groves and Sehome. I still think, you know, when you look at, you know, that district over at Lake Orion just might have opened up a little bit because Rochester took two from Lake Orion. And, you know, and obviously you looked at, you kind of thought early on that Lake Orion would be the favorite in that district in baseball. But that might not be the case now, especially with Rochester, because Rochester, they got a proven hitter. I think he's going to Cleveland State next year. But I'll tell you, I mean, they got a proven hitter, and you know that district just might have got a little bit tougher if you're Lake Orion. I mean, really have. So when I look at my top teams right now, my top five, I would say right now, West Bloomfield number one. I would have to put Sehome number two, Groves three, Rochester four, and then Lake Orion five. So that's my top five right now. Softball, you know, I'm still keeping to tradition. I think Lake Orion. Stony Creek, the way that team's been, obviously, I think with them, and I'm looking at the coaches association rankings here. Stony Creek right now is in the top 10. These are as of the 23rd of April. I mean, as of today, we're filming it today here. So Stony Creek right now is ranked number 10, in the top 10 of the state. And I think a lot of that's Aaron Flynn. Lake Orion is an honorable mention, you know, and I think that's interesting to see how that one goes. And then you look at Division Two. I mean, like, not a lot to report in Division Two. I mean, not a lot from the OA side of things, but Stony Creek, with the way that team is built, they are built around pitching. And if a team can get to Flynn, Stoney's in trouble. That's really what it is right now. And that's honesty there. Lake Orion can hit with anybody. They can pitch with anybody. A lot of questions, though. But Lake Orion right now, they're an honorable mention right now in softball. So that's kind of, you got to figure that out real quick. Is can they find a way, you know, can they find a way to build on that? That's the question. That is the question that I have with Lake Orion. That's the question I have, can they be consistent? That is going to be the key. That'll be the key. Track and field rankings here. This is as of the 17th. Not a lot of OA schools ranked in Division One, Division Two. I don't see any teams ranked there. Girls' side of things is as of the 17th. I don't see really any teams ranked in the OAA right now, in neither both boys or girls when it comes to track and field. When you look at tennis here, in the top of the 17th, obviously we talk Clarkston. They're the top team right now. Troy's fifth right now. Stony Creek sixth. Adams is ninth, and then there's a tie for 10th between three teams with Romeo, Port Huron Northern, and also Bloomfield Hills is in there. Division two, Sehome's ranked two. North Farmington eighth. Groves tied for 10th. So we'll see how that goes. See how that goes. Girls soccer. Obviously, when you look at, this is interesting. because Rochester was one of the teams I was high on. And they dropped the 12th after their loss to Clarkston. Troy right now is ranked 5th. Troy Athens is ranked 7th. Adams is 9th. Rochester is ranked 12th. So, team I'm wondering where the heck is in these rankings. Where's Stony Creek at? I mean, they kind of must have got out to a slow start or something. I mean, that's a little shocking to see Stony Creek not ranked here in the top 15 in the state right now when it comes to soccer. So it's a little bit mind-boggling to see where they're at right now. It's kind of mind-boggling to see where they're at. Not a lot of OA schools ranked in the not a lot of schools ranked in the for girls soccer right now from the other conferences. Obviously in lacrosse you got Clarkston, Lake Orion that are ranked. In boys lacrosse, Lake Orion's coming off a really tough loss to Rockford. Girls lacrosse, you know, you got Birmingham, Bluefield Hills, Lake Orion's a team that's been mentioned. I mean, there's a lot of things here that are just, you know, we'll see what happens going forward when it comes to lacrosse. So a lot to look at going forward. So when it comes to lacrosse, and I think it'll be very interesting to see how this goes looking forward. So final thoughts for the week here. Obviously, we're going to keep an eye on the basketball news going around at Rochester. I don't think Rochester's named a coach yet for their girls program. Been looking at the MHA website, and they still have the non-assigned listed on their site. You know, so that is going to be something to really keep an eye on there. It'll be very interesting to see there. Also, I've heard rumblings at Bluefield Hills. Don't know if Kirsten Massey's back, but we'll see. There's a lot of, and then obviously, of course, we talked earlier with Groves about Allison Heidi stepping down over at Groves. Of course, Groves Athletics posted on their Twitter page. So we'll see what happens going forward. You know, we'll keep an eye on it for sure. And then the boys situation, boys basketball situation over at Birmingham Seahome. You know, we're keeping an eye on that job over there at Birmingham Seahome. So there's a lot to look at, especially in the basketball side of things around the OAA. So we'll see what happens going forward as we head into the, you know, we're heading into the mid stretches of the spring season. We're heading into May. And then, you know, and then we're not that far from June. So we'll see what happens going forward. I know we're in a big, big type of year. That's when we talk prom. We talk about, you know, we talk about other things, obviously. And then I forgot to mention golf. I mean, obviously, when I look at the golf rankings, pulling that up right now here. I think when you look at golf, I mean, obviously, the rankings, I mean, like, it kind of really, you know, it sets itself up. It looks like they don't have the rankings yet. So we'll see what happens. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, like, but they just don't have the rankings yet in golf. So we'll see what happens going forward there. So I just wanted to take another look at it here to see where everything's at. So we'll see what happens going forward there. All right, everyone, signing off here. Make sure you follow the blog at Saginaw Bay 4650 at blogspot.com for the latest information around the OAA. I've posted an update on the shortcomings considering the Grove situation. So we'll see what happens going forward there. All right, I'm going to sign off here. Also, I do have another podcast this week, Last Three Brain Cells podcast with myself and Ian Weatherspoon. We're going to talk NFL draft. So want to keep an eye on that. I will post a link to that. So we'll get your thoughts on the NFL draft taking place this Thursday and in Detroit. So we'll see what happens going forward. All right, everybody, sign off here. Take care. God bless. And I'll see you all next week, everybody. Take care. God bless. See you all next week. God bless.